Ben and Kelly. Good morning, 99.7 EJX. Hi there, Kelly K.
Hello.
So apparently, cottage cheese leveled up and got avocado's agent. Cottage cheese, yes, the low-fat cheese product is now.
It has an agent now.
It's now TikTok famous.
Oh, great.
Of all the cheeses, cottage is probably not the top tier for me. However, I will say its influence has been felt at our house in that my daughter has been eating a lot more cottage cheese. So I don't know exactly what caused this new resurgence of cottage cheese love, but it's here.
Okay, great. So people are just discovering this is tasty. It's been kind of under the radar for all these years, and now it's taken center stage a little bit.
I feel like cottage cheese had its moment back in the 90s there, where everybody was doing like black pepper and tomato with cottage cheese and things like that.
I miss that moment.
Oh, you never
did? Don't people mix like fruit with it?
Well, now that's kind of a thing for sure.
Okay.
Is the cottage cheese and the fruit and all that. And I think that's part of its maybe resurgence of popularity is people are putting it on toast, putting it on pizza, mixing it with scrambled eggs, which the whole scrambled eggs cottage cheese thing, I can attest because it was made for me not too long ago.
That I'm on board with. The others, I'm not sure.
It ain't bad. Yeah, the whole scrambled eggs, cottage cheese thing. So, yeah, I don't know what cottage cheese did to decide, you know what? We've been sitting back in the shadows too long. We need to level up. We need to get a new agent, and we need to get back out there.
Well, now it's living its best life.
Yeah, 138 million TikTok videos.
Wow.
for cottage
cheese.
That's
a lot of recipes.
Yeah, like I said, cottage cheese's agent is taking the avocado approach to things and going, you know what? You can put it on toast. You can put it in eggs. You can put it on pizza. You can mix it with fruit. You can mix it with tomatoes.
Are we combining cottage cheese and avocado? That's the question.
I mean, I feel like that's
you
a marriage.
Could.
That's a marriage that could happen for sure. So, yeah, I don't know
corner.
Yeah, exactly. Like you may be getting up, getting ready for breakfast and, maybe you have a little container of cottage cheese stuck way back in your refrigerator that you haven't looked at for probably a month or two.
Check the expiration date first.
I mean, but
and
does
then
it
bring
go
it
bad?
Out? Well, yeah. Yeah.
Does it really?
Yes. Well, yes. It's a cheese dairy kind of a thing, right?
I don't know. I feel like cottage cheese is one of those things that sits in your fridge forever. And whenever you want to eat it, it's fine.
I think there is an expiration date on those.
Okay.
You probably need to pay attention to that.
Well, maybe.
I don't know if I need to eat sour cottage cheese.
Anyways, I'm here for the cottage cheese comeback.
Well, great. This was awesome. I like it.
Yeah,
you see, you can mix bag with us. This is like one of those recipes, those videos that you're seeing on your feed and you like hit save. You're like, oh, that is really good. And you have a little collection in your phone that you've never looked at again.
Are you saying that about our show? Or are you saying that about cottage
cheese?
Maybe
about the segment.
Like, I mean,
Ben and Kelly are talking about cottage cheese.
Look, we have a balanced show. Look, we're talking cottage cheese now. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about the Mile High Club. So it all balances out.
Oh, wow.
So it all balances out.
The yin and the yang indeed.
99.7 EJX, you know, we were talking about cottage cheese earlier. And since we were talking about food, I was going to ask you, have you ever tried a ketchup sandwich, Kelly?
No.
What about
I need more substance.
What about
than
a mustard
ketchup.
Sandwich?
No, I'm going to need something else. I need some sort of meat or at least peanut butter. That's about as the
could
least
you
amount
do
of meatiness.
Could you just do peanut butter without something else like jelly
no.
or honey or something like that?
No, I need jelly.
So you can't just have one thing on between
no,
two slices
it's
of
called
bread.
PB&J. I need the J.
I was talking to someone who, as a kid, they would just eat ketchup sandwiches. And
that is
they
not...
would just squirt ketchup on two slices of bread, squish it together, and eat them together. And I do remember back in the day, there was a kid, his name was Brian. and he went to my grade school, he would always have things like random things like that, like mayonnaise sandwich. He'd have that. He'd bring a ketchup sandwich. He'd have that. I don't know if he ever had a mustard sandwich, but he made his own lunch in elementary school. He didn't have his parents making his lunch or anything like that. So he either like get the school lunch or he would come to school with like a ketchup sandwich. And I was like, wow.
How does it fill you up though?
Well, I mean, it's basically flavored bread. That's all it is.
Right. And that's not enough for me. Sorry.
Well, apparently it was enough for Brian.
All right. Well, was it?
I've been enjoying recently. I kind of got back into this kick of having tomato sandwiches where tomato is the quote meat of the sandwich.
Right.
And so it'd be just, I put down a layer of Duke's mayonnaise, slice a tomato, slap that on there, a little salt, little pepper, put the other slice of bread on top. It's chef's kiss.
Great. That's awesome.
You're like, it needs more. It needs.
Yes, I need more than that.
Heather writes in and says, my son would eat hot sauce sandwiches.
Hot sauce sandwiches?
Yeah, you know what? I can see that with Frank's Red Hot. I mean, that's kind of like buttery sort of thing.
Okay.
Brady says via text, my brother used to make mustard and potato chip sandwiches. All right.
Okay, the potato chip at least has a little more substance for me.
Okay.
Still not enough, though.
You've added potato chips to sandwiches, though, before. Have you ever done the peanut butter and potato chip sandwich?
No, but I add, like, sliced almonds or extra peanuts I don't have the
potato
chunky. Because I do enjoy the chunky peanut butter over the smooth, the creamy.
Oh, okay. So may I suggest the next time you're making a peanut butter sandwich, add potato chips to your peanut butter sandwich. It gives it the crunch that you so desire and a little bit of the saltiness, and it's fantastic. Sherry texts in and says, I love a mater sandwich.
Mater? Like a tomato?
A tomato, yes.
But I'm going to need to add a little lettuce, a little bacon, and mayonnaise to make it a BLT.
Okay. All right. But you're creating a completely different sandwich then.
Right. And I'm going to need more than just a mater sandwich. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Am I just a fatty fat that I'm the only one that needs more on my sandwiches?
I
not
going to
fill me up?
I guess so. Todd rolls in and says peanut butter jelly Doritos.
Ooh.
Yummy. Yeah, you can put Doritos or potato chips on any peanut butter sandwich, and it will add so much more culinary delight to it.
It's just literally moving it from the side of the sandwich to on the sandwich.
Yeah, and you haven't
because
done that
Because, you know,
ever?
Once you take a bite of the sandwich, you're taking a bite of the chip, so it does make a little sense, but
you've never done
that? Looks weird. I mean, typically no. I will stay with the order of take the bite of the sandwich, then take the chip. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm a traditionalist. I have to have breakfast before lunch and lunch before dinner type of person too.
Well, no. I have broken the we have Brinner sometimes where we have breakfast for dinner.
No, but I'm saying like you can't have dinner entrees for breakfast.
No, but I can have breakfast for dinner.
Can you have lunch entrees for breakfast?
Typically, no.
Okay. All right, anyways.
I'm too heavy
sorry.
In the morning.
All right. Anyways, some more riveting food conversation here from your pals, Ben and Kelly. We have a Setting the Bar story coming up for you next. And look, I'm not going to say accepting a bribe is legal, but maybe you could earn yourself a little money and let the transgression just go without saying.
What are we saying?
I'm saying this is Setting the Bar story, so that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Which is typically something that you don't want to have happen to you, all right?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's on the way next on 99.7 EJX. Good morning. Can you be bought? It's 99.7 EJX. What's your price? $10? $1,000?
Well, it depends on what it is.
All right. This is Setting the Bar story, which is what, Kelly?
An example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, we set the bar for your day very low, okay? If you can manage to make it through the day without crashing your car into a house,
ooh,
then trying to bribe the owner into not calling the police on you, you're doing okay.
Oh, well, see, now automatically the price is going to be affected by how much damage and what that repair may cost.
Yeah, this lady in Virginia thought a tornado actually hit her in the middle of the night.
That sounds substantial.
Right. In fact,
that sounds like more than knocking her mailbox over.
In fact, though, it was a 2017 yellow Dodge Charger that had veered off the road, hit a fence, careened across the yard, ripped through an above-ground pool, and slammed into a deck.
Oh, that's going to hurt. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so she got jolted awake, kind of talked about it.
He went through a stockade fence. He took out the post, not just the fence. He took out the post.
Yeah, took out the post, not just the fence, took out the post. And so, like, approached him, confronted the driver. Guy was like, hey, 50 grand. 50 grand.
Just don't call the cops.
Let's not call the cops. It stays between us. 50 grand.
I'm good for it. How do we know he's good for it?
Well, he said his dad was a millionaire. If my dad's a millionaire, I'm going to give you 50 grand. For
He'll write you a check tomorrow, I promise.
Right, exactly. For one, I'm like, okay, unless you're giving it to me in cash, and even if you give it to me in cash, I'm thinking, where's this cash coming from?
Right, I'm going to need to have that verified.
If you give it to me in a check, I'm even going, right, this is going to bounce. I'm not getting my money, right?
Yeah. There's not a lot of people that can just throw around $50,000 like that.
Right, exactly. And so she's all like, nope, calling the police. So then he's like, sure. And so he leaves the car. Right, exactly. Obviously, the cops were able to identify him thanks to the car. Unclear, though, what has happened to him. Unclear how old this guy is. Thankfully, doesn't sound like anyone was really hurt in this. We don't really know if his dad is in fact a millionaire.
This happened in Prince William County.
But I will say the same thing happened to me. And I'm not and I'm not going to say that it was my house that got hit, but I got hit. I was in downtown.
You were hit?
Yeah, I was in downtown. And someone pulled out from being parked on the curb and literally hit my car as I'm driving by.
Oh.
And they go, let's not call the police. Let's just try to settle it here. Can I give you $50?
$50? What kind of damage did it cause? Was there like a sizable dent, big scratches? What kind of damage did you have?
Now, Kelly, I'm going to say two things.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say, one, I said, you know what? I don't need your money. Let's call this, you had a bad day.
It'll be fine. You didn't even take $50?
Nope. And
was there damage to your car?
And number two, it was the old Geo Metro.
So it really didn't matter?
That had the dead mice in the glove compartment.
The car wasn't worth $50. Like,
right,
listen,
exactly.
This is not.
So I was like, you know what? Like, I don't even care. I don't even care.
Not going to fix it.
Now, if it was my current car, I'd be like, let's call the police or let's file a report. I want to get some insurance money on this or whatever.
Yeah, because this is probably going to be like there's zero car repairs that are cheap.
Right, right. But yes, it was a little dent in the side of the car. And I was like, It gives it character. It's fine.
It's like a distressed table.
Right, exactly.
You know, the puppy's been chewing on it. That's fine. It makes it look distressed. It's fine.
You've driven that car before. Understand the majestic nature of that car.
I can't believe I drove that car before. I think I was going 30 miles an hour on I-64 in that car. Because that's about as fast as it could go.
Well, because the speedometer was in kilometers. So
it wasn't.
Honestly,
yeah,
had no idea.
I couldn't figure out. Yeah. I didn't know.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. So anyways.
Wow.
That's
a good day for that guy.
I know. And I thought about it. I thought about it for a beat and I was like, man, should I take this dude's money? Should I call the cops? And then I look at the car and I'm like, you know what? It's the Geo. I'm fine. We're good here. And plus I'm going to work and I'm like, I just need to get to work. Let's not worry about this right now.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So hopefully.
But again, if it was another one of your cars in the fleet.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm hoping that, you know, good karma paid it forward, that guy was able to you know what, use that and go, wow, okay, this is cool. And he was able to do something great.
Was there damage to his car?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know.
Is there like maroon left on his car?
Maroon? You mean maroon from the Geo Metro?
Right, yes.
All right. Anyways, that's your setting the bar story of being a man is to make it through the day without trying to bribe a person that whose house you hit.
Yeah.
Because your dad's a millionaire to try to not call the cops and you're doing okay.
And we also learned that you can be bought for free.
As long as I'm driving the Geo Metro,
the Geo,
that I have dead mice in the glove compartment,
it's good.
We're good. All right, that's your setting the bar story.
Did you ever figure out like how long you actually drove around with dead mice in glove compartment before you discovered them?
No clue.
Okay.
No clue. I want to know how long I drove around with live mice in my glove compartment.
Oh, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Give you a little PG-13 warning for this, just in case.
Oh, my.
It is a setting the bar story, though. And what is that?
It's an example of what not to do.
Sure.
Or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Right. So the star of our story is Aaron. And she got banned from flying American Airlines. So if you can manage to make it through the day without being banned from flying on a plane because you joined the Mile High Club.
Oh, boy.
You're doing okay.
Okay. And she's saying, no, wasn't me?
Yeah, so she's 24, and she actually posted a pretty lengthy video after American Airlines banned her for getting it on with a guy on a recent flight. Now, listen, she only found out that she was banned when she tried to board a flight and had to spend $1,000 on a last minute ticket with a different airline. She was on the no fly list. And
you're kidding.
No, here's her explanation.
I went to check into my flight on my phone and it didn't work. So when I got to the airport, I went to the kiosk and it also errored. I just went to the help desk and it errors for them too. And they're like, let us call someone and get it fixed. They get off the phone and she's like, you've actually been banned from flying American Airlines.
Yeah. You've actually been banned from flying American Airlines.
That is probably jarring information.
Yep.
And I was like, what did I get banned for? She was like, it's an issue of internal security. I can't tell you. I then finally get an email from corporate security telling me that I've been banned because I was having sexual relations with a man on a flight while intoxicated.
Yeah, that's what they accused her of.
Oh, wow.
And she's like,
not me.
It wasn't me. And
why are we not playing that song right now?
Right, exactly. It wasn't me. Well, here's why.
Well, let me tell you, I am a 24-year-old lesbian.
There it is.
Finally hear back from corporate security. I get a call being like, hey, we've reviewed your case, so we're going to take you off the no-fly list.
Yeah, so they actually, it took a couple months jumping through some hoops to basically convince the airlines they had the wrong person.
Wrong person. Okay.
So I ended up on the American Airlines no-fly list by accident, and I'm now out $1,000.
Yeah, she said she's now out $1,000 because she had to, again, book a last-minute flight on a different airline to get where she was going to go.
Dang.
Because of that weird error. Now, listen, you know, don't feel too bad for her because of this video, I guess, blew up on TikTok. She was able to monetize it, and she was able to make enough money on the video to cover the grand that she had to shell out for that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But so they don't even like alert you to the fact where they're just like, they just low key ban you.
I guess
and
so.
And don't even tell you.
Yeah. So she only found out when she was trying to check in to a flight. Like they let her purchase a ticket. And then they're
like, that's crazy.
And they're
like they don't pull you aside and say, listen. That's against the rules.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know if she had previously bought that ticket and then it was already, you know, it had already been purchased and then this incident happened and then they put her on the no-fly list. And so when she tried to check in, then it was saying no, or if they just allowed her to buy the ticket and then they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, you can't actually fly with us because you're banned.
So they were afraid of the confrontation by telling people that they're banned. They're just going to like low key just cross
guess,
them off,
I don't know.
Put them on a list, not
Anyways,
tell them about it.
It was all misunderstanding.
Right. But is that their normal practice though?
Don't know. Listen, I was just on a flight.
Did you see any sort of situation may or may not?
And every time I'm on an airplane, I think about this. I think about people who've at least tried this because I'm thinking to myself, there's no possible way that's even that can actually even happen, the Mile High Club, because one, there's always a line for the bathroom. Two, they're so small when you get in there, there's no possible way you could even squeeze two people in there.
Logistically speaking, it sounds problematic.
So I would like to ask.
Stop it.
Is there anyone within the sound of my voice who has actually successfully attempted the Mile High Club? Or maybe...
Do you think anyone's going to call and admit that?
I think so. Or maybe this is the better angle to go. Are there any flight attendants or people who've been a flight attendant who
That's a better angle.
Caught people trying to check their card into the Mile High Club?
What a sassy start to the day.
I know, right? Because I legit was just on a red-eye airplane flight, you know? That's an overnight flight. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the entire cabin's dimmed, but still...
Most people are sleeping.
Yes, most people are sleeping, but still even then...
It's time to get away with it.
Even then, the flight attendants are still walking up and down the aisle. There's still people going to the restroom. I'm like, how in the world is that even possible? So I'd like
to... Well, red-eye is probably going to be... your best case scenario if you're going to try.
Kelly, have you? No. Of course you haven't tried.
Why do you even need
to ask me that? Sorry. It started to come out of my mouth before I realized who I was talking to.
Don't make me clutch my pearls again.
Don't make me clutch my pearls. All right, so we'd love to hear your stories about, quote, the Mile High Club, all right? Whether you were on one side or the other, or maybe you were waiting to use the restroom and people came out. You know, who knows? All right, 502-795-1997. Oh, we're already getting some stories.
That's great.
That's great. We'll tell your stories on the way next on 99.7 DJX. At the risk of Kelly clutching her pearls, little PG.
I'm already there.
Little PG-13 segment here.
Kids, don't listen on the way to school.
We had a woman falsely accused of joining the Mile High Club, getting herself on the no-fly list. Didn't actually happen. But I was like, hey, how is that even possible? Like, I've taken a lot of flights, one even recently. It was a red eye. It was overnight and things like that. The lavatories are way too small. There's flight attendants all over the place. Are there any flight attendants listening who've maybe caught people trying?
You're not allowed to do any kissy-kissy in the bathroom.
Have you ever even tried to attempt? Have you successfully attempted? Sean messages in and says, Lord knows I've tried.
Wow.
Lord knows I've tried.
Okay.
He says, my wife and I flew the red eye from Vegas about 5 times, and each time there were only a few people on the plane. Unless you can somehow get it done in your seat, it's a lost cause. There's no way two people are getting into that bathroom without causing some interest. All right. I understand.
Yep. Meredith, you can't just tell everyone, just look away. Just look away.
Meredith writes, my mom is a flight attendant. Maybe once or twice a year, she'll see people attempt, but they usually can't fit two people comfortably in the lavatory.
Yeah, see, logistically speaking, it just isn't possible.
That's what I'm saying. And they'll abandon it. She says she usually doesn't say anything unless they're hogging the lavatory because they're too embarrassed to come out.
Yes. Now, but see, that's the risk you run. Like, what if someone is really in intestinal distress?
I'm right.
Right? So you can't go bang on the door and say, hey, come out.
How angry would you be if you're, like, thinking about getting sick or you're in intestinal distress and two people are trying to...
They don't do well with flying.
They're trying to punch their card to the Mile High Club. Now, you want to remain anonymous. I've disguised your voice. That's fine. Sassy. But now you've successfully achieved this. But was it on a red-eye flight?
No, it was on a flight from... I was headed to New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And so I just went back first, and then he came back and tapped on the door, and that was that. But there were people waiting when we came out, and that was super embarrassing.
Gosh!
So, wait, was this like your boyfriend or your husband?
He was my fiance at the time, yeah.
Okay, so you knew him. That's great.
Now.
Wow.
I was a few Bloody Marys then. Like,
right, so. I bet. Thank you so much for sharing.
All right, thank you.
Oh, wow. couple of those Bloody Marys, and you're like, you know what sounds fun?
Wow. Well, at least, yes, at least she knew him.
Jake messaged, yes, and it was my wife's idea. I don't need to do it again. That said, making a graceful exit is tricky. But after joining the Mile High Club, who cares? Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, all right. Now, Tony, I don't think Tony's being honest. He says yes on a flight to Hawaii to be Pacific. Ha ha.
LOLOL.
Ocean puns.
Ocean puns
that.
Indeed.
Eric says, yeah, an ex-girlfriend and I were on an overnight flight from LA to New York to New Zealand many Ooh, years ago.
That's a long flight.
Yeah, we did manage to do it standing up in a bathroom. Only awkward part was when I came out and a guy was waiting for the restroom and he stepped forward to go in. My girlfriend closed the door on him. He looked at me very startled and I just shrugged my shoulders and went back to my seat. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, those long flights might be, again, give you a little bit more opportunity.
But again, I've been on transatlantic flights, and there is a lot of activity happening in the cabin. Oh, my gosh.
Constantly?
Yes, constantly. There's people all the time getting up and using the restroom. Like, you know, you think to yourself, okay, this is a great idea. I'm going to take a red-eye flight over, you know, transatlantic. I'm going to sleep on the plane. It'll be great. I'll wake up fresh-faced and ready to do my sightseeing.
Explore. Do the things,
right,
yes.
Exactly. But there's people constantly walking up and down the aisle and all that stuff. So I'm like, how is this even possible? Raymond says, now look, to clear things up for everyone here, if you are caught trying to join, quote, the club on an airplane, the flight attendant is required to notify the pilot, who is then required to land the plane at the nearest airport and have you removed via handcuffs.
Oh, dang. Do people know those consequences?
However, most flight attendants probably don't want to mess their day up by messing yours up. But is it really worth taking the chance?
Yeah,
Raymond rolling in there with the moral of the story there.
Who knew that that was really the policy and what they're supposed to do in that situation? I'm not going to risk it.
And then we're going to do one more, and it's a little bit closer to home. Jessica says, I used to work at Kentucky Kingdom. Hang on. As a ride operator. And 1 year during the fair, when I was working the giant wheel, we had to call security on a couple for trying to join a different type of Mile High Club.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's shoot. On display.
Wow.
The giant wheel's on display.
Yeah, she says, just a little PSA, don't try that one either, because definitely more space, but still not a great idea.
No, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, so I guess I could understand maybe your thought process where you're like, okay, as they are unloading people, you know, because a lot of times you're stuck up there for several minutes.
Yeah, no one can see us up here.
No one can see us.
Yeah. All apparently right. They can.
Man, what a fun bunch you are.
Cautionary.
You guys
tale,
are
though.
Way more adventurous and risk-taking than I am.
But do you want to be the reason that they are diverting and landing at the nearest airport?
Listen, Kelly,
to
Kelly? Kelly?
Lead you off in handcuffs? Really?
We're not shaming them. We're telling them the risks.
Yes, there are risks.
We're telling them the risks.
There are risks that maybe you were on. I did not know that.
All right, wow. Good calls. Thank you for all the stories there. The Mile High Club there on 99.7 EJX. And that was our PG-13 segment for the show.
That's great. Yep. It's perfect timing for that. If the kids are going to school.
Kelly clutching her pearls. It's DJ.
Seriously.
What's the one thing they always tell you never to do when you get sick?
Google.
Yeah, Google.
Google it.
Google your symptoms. And I'll tell you, that is the way that I do most of my health care. It's by Googling. My wife,
not by calling your doctor. Nope, I'll figure it out on the internet.
Yeah, both my wife and I are kind of in that same sort of pocket where she's like, okay, so here are my symptoms. These are 15 different articles, that outline several different things that it could be, but, whittling it down, it's like a little puzzle. It's like whittling it down. I think it could be this, this, or this, or possibly I have this. And it's like, okay, all right, fantastic.
And at what point do you call the doctor? Cause you really can't get any sort of treatment without them.
Well, at that point, we then weigh, we're like, okay, we'll let nature take its course.
Oh, okay. We'll just fight it off with nature.
We'll let nature take its course.
Yeah.
Or you know, I pop a couple ibuprofen, let nature take its course. It'll be, we'll work it out. We'll let our bodies will come out stronger on the other side because of this.
Sure.
At least that's what I tell myself.
Uh-huh.
Again, half a semester of pre-med, so didn't necessarily get too far into the whole medical training, but we have...
You got 0% into the medical training.
Why are you saying 0%?
Because you didn't... I mean, you were scratching the surface. You were this was the overview portion of it, and you're like, I'm out.
All right, so medical professionals understand that they've taken probably 8 years of college training, residencies, things like that, maybe even 10,
sure,
to get to where they are today.
Yes.
And yes, I realize that if you're looking at 10 years versus a half a semester, which is probably 3 weeks, it's a difference.
3 weeks?
there's a difference.
There is a difference. So we can't necessarily rely solely on Dr. Davis.
Well, or Andrew the Love Doctor, who texted in and said, well, I'm just a love doctor, so not a doctor, so I'm out.
Got it. Okay. All right.
Anyways, Bianca needs to know if what her doctor did on her last visit was normal.
Okay, then. So we're talking procedure.
Yeah, so need medical proper professionals. Protocol. Need medical professionals in the audience. There has to be at least one that listens to our show.
I think there's been proven to be at least one that texted.
Okay. All right, we'll get Bianca's situation coming up next. 99.7 DJX.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
All right, we need some healthcare professionals to assemble for Bianca. Hey, Ben and Kelly, thought I'd toss this out because I thought it was odd, and you guys are kind of my odd police, if you will.
Thank
LOL.
You. By the way, before we get started, Karen did text in and said, I've watched 20 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, so I'm basically a doctor, too.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and include her.
Okay,
yes.
So she can be in the inner circle.
She can be a consultant, of course. Anyway, I have a tendency to be a bit of a hypochondriac. My parents died young, so I guess I want to be super on top of my health and catch any problems early so it's treatable. I spent a lot of time with my doctor. And the other day, I noticed that while I was talking about my lower abdominal pains, he was looking stuff up on his iPad.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool if you're not a doctor. And he ruled some things out, wrote me a prescription, sent me on my way. And I wondered, did my doctor just Google my symptoms?
Wait, does she know that he was actually Googling the symptoms?
Apparently, yes.
Okay.
Is this normal in healthcare? I know you have many doctors that listen, so I'm curious because I thought they always want you not to Google your symptoms or diagnosis.
Yeah. It's funny because I've seen TikToks and reels where the patient is shot from the patient's point of view, POV. And it's a little video of, is my doctor Googling my symptoms? And it's like zooming in on the doctor in the other room, and they can see the screen, and they're typing in the symptoms.
Well, there was a viral video of a doctor like Googling how to properly wrap a sprained ankle.
Yeah. Well, look.
And, you know, a lot of, I have seen other doctors online say, well, it's impossible to know everything off the top of your head.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, to have that sort of knowledge about everything is next to impossible because I've got to think that especially in the medical profession, you're going to find things and see things every day that are just a little different. And, you know, things can be masked as other things. And so, you know, and obviously you want to be sure. And maybe there is a...
It's like a refresher course.
I mean,
more than like learning it for the first time.
But I'm saying maybe the doctors know the prompts to ask Google so they know they're getting something that's actually like legit as opposed to just you and I.
Just a layperson.
Commoners who are punching into the keyboard. Why does my butt hurt?
Oh, wow. Please tell me that you haven't looked that up.
Who hasn't? I'm sorry, Kelly.
That's too vague.
I express a little bit of vulnerability here.
Ah.
And
gotcha.
And you come down on me like it's some sort of crime that my butt hurts every now and then.
Why are you just, again, oversharing? This is an instance where we're oversharing. Angela, you could have said any other part of your body. You could have said, my tooth hurts. What are the possible causes?
Well, Kelly.
But you went for butt?
It's because
we're sharing?
It's because I'm not making things up.
Okay. But all right.
I'm saying that was my most recent symptom.
Great. Thank you again.
Everything
for
is
sharing.
Fine now. Thank you for asking.
Great. I don't want to ask about the treatment.
I don't want to ask about the treatment.
I don't want to know what you had to do to
Creams.
Get your butt feeling better again. I don't need to know. I'm already angry that we're here.
My wife used rubber gloves.
Stop it.
A stethoscope. Not really sure why, but anyway.
Zach on Facebook says it's normal. Doctors don't know everything, and the good ones are constantly educating themselves. New or rare diseases, for instance, pop up on their patients. They try and help you, or they will refer you to a specialist. My disease only affects 12 to 15% of the population, so my cardiologist got his book out.
Yeah.
He reached out to other specialists like him, and together, you know, they have me on the best treatment plan.
Yeah, okay. See, to me, that almost sounds like it's almost comforting to know, okay, they're human. They don't know necessarily everything, but they want to make sure that they're steering you in the right direction. So anyways, would love to hear some of your stories. Maybe you've got a story about this that you can legally share. Maybe your butt hurt too, you know? Anyone? Anyone? All right, 502-795-1997 is our number. Thank you for being a part of the Ben and Kelly Show this morning. I've taken a half a semester of pre-med.
You wear that with such a badge of honor. It equates to really what? 3 weeks, you said? Three weeks.
Yeah.
And you bailed.
Yeah. Counting orientation, probably. Yeah.
Count. Okay.
So I made it pretty far, I would say, in my doctor journey. But I wound up in radio because, you know, hashtag for the fame and women. But we got a message from Bianca, who was like, hey, I caught my doctor Googling my symptoms. Is that normal in healthcare?
Yeah, a lot of people are chiming in. Molly says it's normal as long as the sources are for doctors and not just a random Google search. Doctors have access to medical journals and databases that we don't, and that makes perfect sense. They would access them. They aren't walking encyclopedias.
Yeah, Nicole rolls in. Nurse here, work closely with several doctors. Perfectly normal. We research, look things up, collaborate with each other and other physicians all day, every day. Sounds like a good doctor to me. See, like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like what I said earlier. And it's like, I almost feel comfort in not having the doctor just guess.
Right.
Like, oh, well, that sounds like it could be a hemorrhoid, Ben. You know, you're talking about your butt hurting and stuff.
Okay, that's we're back to the butt pain now. Okay.
I'm like, no, it's not necessarily there. It's more here. And he's like, well, I would just take a couple swipes of elderberry juice and rub that on there and see if that clears things up.
Okay. So, yes, it is. It's good that you want the doctors to be sure. Just double check. By the way, E from LJ text in. I have this hilarious image of Kelly in a room with HR, and they're asking her, could you just rein him in a little bit? And Kelly just has to sit there and say, if I could do that, I would have done it years ago.
Oh.
So calmly stands up, walks out. Ben's there at the door, ready to do the helicopter, and she just rolls her eyes and moves on.
Do the helicopter? You think I would do that at work?
Whatever. Anyway, you guys are great. Keep doing what you're doing. At least we are not brain surgeons. Could you imagine?
Oh, shoot. All right.
But no, yes, from what everyone is saying, like medical professionals, and yes, it's a very collaborative kind of a situation. And, you know, just double checking. There are when you think of it, makes my brain hurt. When you think about all of the different possibilities of ailments and injuries and all the things that your body is very complicated.
Yeah. Karen did roll in and say, I asked this once to my doctor if he's Googling. He said that they have a specific website that only doctors can use and it helps them narrow it down. Was he lying and actually Googling my symptoms? I don't know. but
no, I totally believe that.
No, I believe that too, and I think that that's probably the case.
I mean, I hope they have like this, some sort of doctor search engine where they like type in all the symptoms and it was just like, and then spits out the diagnosis. And, okay, great. Someone's like, you spin the wheel. What's it going to come up with?
Yeah. And between, you know, Grey's Anatomy and House and ER.
We're all kind of experts.
I mean, we all kind of know, right?
We watched on a regular basis. I mean, that House, that was the entire premise, is getting very difficult, hard to figure out medical situations and
figuring
spend
it
an
out.
Entire episode trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and trying to figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. All right. Hopefully, we at least eased your anxiety a little bit on this, Bianca.
Like, it's fine. Looks like they're doing all the right things trying to keep you healthy, figure out the right answer.
Exactly.
We could just move away from Ben's butt. That'd be great.
All right, there you go. That's group therapy. Those weird little freak flags that you hold close to your chest, sometimes you just need to know if you're the only one holding it or if there are others. Like Brittany, who said, I think it's all right, I use your name. Hey,
did she say keep me anonymous? Read to the end. Let's read to the end.
It's okay.
Okay.
No, she says so I use a different toothpaste for the morning and night. Like in the morning, I like a minty breath for the day. And at night, I like a strong whitening toothpaste to clean them real well after a hard day of drinking coffee and snacking and all that. And I know that's boring and PG, but now I swear this is logical and I cannot be alone in this.
I have to be honest, this is the first time I've ever heard of somebody using two different toothpastes for two different times of day.
Me too.
I have one tube. I use it both day and night.
Yeah, I use it until it's gone, basically.
Yes.
I am a fan of switching up toothpastes just for kicks. Like,
sure.
I'm not necessarily brand loyal. I'll go and I'll try this kind one time, and then next time I'll be like, this one looks good, and I'll grab this one and I'll do another one another time. So I'll switch them up from tube to tube, but not two tubes at the same time. No, you know what? I say that, and as I say that, I think I have two tubes of different toothpaste that are.
But are you consciously using this as my morning toothpaste and this is my nighttime toothpaste?
I'm not. Okay. But we do have two active tubes of toothpaste in the house right now. That are different brands and different variety.
Okay.
So
if you're feeling different, like today I'm going to do this super minty flavor or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And both of them are mint flavor. Can you do any toothpaste paste flavor other than mint?
No.
Yeah, neither can I.
No. It's got to be in the minty lane. Some are stronger than others that are not quite as enjoyable, but I'm mostly paying attention to, all right, is this saying it's going to give me like movie star Hollywood white smile?
Uh-huh.
Then that's what I'm going for.
Okay.
I'm going to try all the whitening toothpastes at least once. The ones that say, we're going to, you know, take away all the stains from all the years and instantly white in one use or 3 days or whatever. I'm like, I'll try in all of them.
We have added charcoal and sticks to this toothpaste.
That
are going to instantly whiten your teeth.
That sounds effective.
Man, yep. I was just at the dentist the other day, and
your dad's a dentist, so you're practically a dentist.
Yes, my dad's a dentist. So yeah, I mean, look, I'm a wealth of medical information here.
You are.
So, anyways, I don't think my dentists know that. So
you should probably share the information.
Well, so I guess my old dentist did know that, but he retired. A new like dentist kind of, or he sold it to another dentist group and they moved in. So I just kept going to the same building. Right. But it's now like a new crop of dental people that are working on my teeth.
You
anyways.
Probably should share your expertise. They would probably like to know that.
I'd be like, let me tell you. No. and so I always feel some sort of shame when they ask about my flossing habits. So I do.
Are you going to be honest or are you going to say yes every day?
So
without fail.
So listen, I will be honest within a couple weeks of the dentist appointment, meaning when I know I've got a dentist appointment coming up, I'm like,
getting real good at flossing.
I should probably hit these little flossing guys
fake like I've been doing it the whole time.
So anyways, so they ask, they're like, hey, how often do you floss? And I'm thinking, I'm like, you already know the answer. You don't need to get me to say it because you already know the answer.
You give them attitude?
Like,
why are you asking me that?
Like, why are you asking me that? You know! You know! And so I'm sitting there going, probably about once or twice a week.
Which is what the average is based on you doing it for the last 2 or 3 weeks every day?
Yeah, when in reality, it's probably about 2 to 3 times a month, maybe. It's just because, like, I forget about it sometimes and whatever. So I said 1 to 2 times a week, and she was like, okay, here are some suggestions as to how you could.
We can maybe up that to about
She said not every day, but just let's start by getting it to up to about 3 times a week. And she's like, you know, just you could have those little toothsticks, and you could use those at like a red light or whatever. Oh my gosh, Justin just texted in. He was like, to the doctor, you know, you were there the last time I flossed, buddy. That was 6 months ago.
Probably the last time you did it when I was back up in here.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, you're kind of aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah. So I enjoyed the approach of just like, okay, have we tried this?
See, that's very good. She's very good.
Yes. Yes. Rather than just go, hey, let's try to get this up to about 4 or 5 times a week.
She didn't like, shame you.
She was like,
this was a nice, like, let's she was go like, ahead baby and steps or a different regimen.
What I do, and we're going to give you a little sample size of floss here. And what you can do is you can put that next to your desk. And so, you know, when you're on a Zoom call, you can just like take the camera off and you can hit them real quick. And so, yeah. So she was
on
giving
a
me like,
Zoom call.
Yeah. Okay. So she was like giving me practical sort of advice there. So.
I like the whole keep the flossing sticks in the little glove box. Just
yeah.
do it, you know, in the
yeah, honestly.
If you had lunch out and you're just yep. driving back home, you can just set a stoplight, do a little.
Yeah, honestly, like refresher. my daughters and my wife are way more better about that sort of thing than I am.
Well, it's annoying to have anything stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, hey, thank you for that. We spent way longer than I thought talking about teeth and toothpaste, but whatever.
Practical. It's relatable.
It's relatable.
You can apply it to your life.
All right. It's 99.70 JX. Hey, coming up, we got a feel-good story on the way.
Yes, but no, we determined that she's a freak for having two different toothpaste, right?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Get to this feel-good. Message in a bottle, huh, Kelly?
Yep. A woman named Suzanne in Florida was helping clean up after Hurricane Debbie found a message in a bottle from 1945.
Wow.
It's a note written to a friend, and it's on official U.S. Navy letterhead. Historians are trying to track down more info.
I like to pick up trash. I like to make myself useful. In like my third bag, I noticed a glass bottle, and you could see the note. And I went to grab it. I was like, oh my goodness, I think I just found a message in a bottle. Dear Lee, received your letter yesterday. Was glad to hear from you. If you do good, good things happen. There is a sense of excitement and also like a story. A story that hopefully we can find its home and bring it to its place.
Mm. Yeah, the only bad thing is there are no last names, so it's going to make it a little difficult to try to track down who exactly wrote it and who it was to. But it was found 800 miles from the naval base that still stands. So, yeah, just kind of cool to think about it. They're going to keep looking into it and see if they can verify if there was a Lee that was, you know, enlisted at that time at that base.
Wow.
By searching through old records. Pretty cool story. Again, you can see on X at Ben and Kelly Show, brought to you by Bell of Louisville.
Earlier this hour, we were talking about the little oddities in your brain, right, that make you need to have a morning toothpaste and a different night toothpaste, things like that, or whether you can actually stand to have something other than mint be your toothpaste flavor.
I have to kind of stay in the mint lane. I can't really. Now, sometimes at the dentist, they'll offer like a fruity flavor, and I've been okay with that.
No,
but
I can't do
by
that
and large, at home, I need mint.
Yeah. I mean, when my daughters were little, we did have, for a period of time, some like bubblegum flavor toothpaste.
Sure.
Which I thought was absolutely disgusting.
Oh, you couldn't handle it?
No. Okay. Megan texted in, one time my friend told the reason she doesn't like mint chocolate is because mint is supposed to clean your mouth, but chocolate makes your mouth dirty and her brain can't comprehend it.
But see, it's kind of a win-win though. It's like your mouth is getting dirty, but then immediately getting clean with the mint when you eat the mint chocolate, right? Right?
Is it, though?
It's a bonus.
It's like me telling my daughter to brush her teeth at night, and she's like, but I'm drinking mint tea.
Just
I'm
brush
like,
your teeth with Oreos.
I'm like, that's not right. But I'm drinking mint tea.
I'm still brushing my teeth.
I'm drinking tea, and it's mint flavored. That's not
mint tea.
The same.
No, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Oh, wow.
Anyways.
Well, and Angela says, my son refuses to eat mint anything because he says mint is only for toothpaste. That's the only place it's supposed to live.
Yeah, certainly not in a glass of sweetened bourbon.
No, no.
Anyways, we digress. Coming up next, our listener, Laura, asking a question that many of you have probably thought about, but maybe haven't ever actually asked the question because you feel silly.
Exactly. And then, like, who is the expert on this?
Yeah.
Who know the answer?
Yeah. Who is that? Because there's no rule. Like, there's no.
Right.
Who is the expert? I mean, I guess you could look up, like, the textbook definition. But who even knows if that's right?
Probably not.
We don't know. We're just Ben and Kelly. We'll get to that coming up next. 99.70 JX. Got this message from Laura. She's a listener.
Saying, hey, guys, real quick. I have always been cute, and I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be ugly, but how about pretty?
Okay.
In your opinion, what's the difference between cute, pretty, and hot? Okay. Can we get a collective answer here from the group? And for that matter, what's the difference between cute, handsome, and hot? Thank you.
Okay, wait. So she's just wanting to know. Okay, so she maybe doesn't like that she's called cute.
Right.
Like
she's wondering, how do I graduate to being the level of pretty or even hot? And is that the proper order of the ascension?
Oh.
Like you start at cute, then there's pretty, and then there's, okay. Where's beautiful fall in? Where's hot?
Right.
What's the difference?
All right. So Kelly, you're a woman. Do you feel some sort of way being called one over the other?
No, I like to avoid the conversation altogether because I don't want to know.
If someone says, oh, you look cute today, or hey, you look beautiful, or hey, you look hot.
If anyone is commenting at all on my appearance, then I feel like it's a win because they're noticing something.
Yeah, so
if I'm going through most of my days and people are saying zero to me, then I guess I'm not putting enough effort in. But if someone is taking the time to mention something, then I feel like, it's a win today.
So Kelly is saying that she's attention starved and needs to.
Not what I'm saying.
Is very receptive to compliments of
I'm
any
saying
kind.
I take what I can get.
Of any kind.
I take what I can get and I'm appreciative.
Yeah, so I mean.
But I'm not going to sit there and try to break down. Okay, well, cute, nice, but I wish they said, oh, you look really pretty today. Or, oh, that's beautiful. Or whatever.
Yeah, so
I'm not mincing words.
So I'm a guy and I've definitely said, oh, you know, she looks cute or she looks attractive or whatever. And there's been like, oh, well, why is she cute? And why isn't she beautiful? Or I was hoping that she would be beautiful or something. Or you know,
you distinguish in your mind are there different meanings for those words?
And that's
what she's really getting at.
I know. And a lot of times as a guy, I'm just paying a compliment.
Right.
That it,
which
you know,
all of them are like, on the same level for you.
It is kind of like black and white, and it's like compliment or not compliment.
Okay.
Cute, hot, attractive, you know,
all
beautiful, all that is kind of the same thing.
But they're kind of not, though. If someone says,
okay, so
they're hot,
this is where,
that's the
this
top
is what
of
we're trying to get.
The tier. That's top tier right there, right?
Hot?
Yeah.
Not beautiful? Because I would say that beautiful is probably like more elegant hot, and hot
okay.
is more
yes.
trashy hot.
Oh, okay. All right.
Does that equate?
That could be.
Beautiful is more of an elegant hot, and then
yes.
and then hot is more of a trashy hot. Like
is gorgeous better than beautiful? Or are they on the same playing field? Beautiful and gorgeous, are they the same?
Gorgeous?
Nah, gorgeous.
See, gorgeous. Gorgeous.
That's
is,
glamour too.
But gorgeous is I think like, oh, she looks gorgeous. I think it's maybe more appearance than it is looks. Does that make sense?
Okay, so she's in a formal gown going to a really fancy event. Obviously, put a lot of work into it, so that's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
but maybe just an everyday, looks really good. She's beautiful.
Okay. Yeah.
All put together. Beautiful, though, I think is just a general statement about how she looks all the time, regardless of what she's wearing.
Yeah. So Lexi is rolling in saying, okay, the order is definitely pretty, cute, hot, beautiful, and gorgeous.
Oh, so pretty comes before cute. So cute is a step up from pretty.
Yeah. Okay. So, oh, she's pretty. Oh, she's cute.
Okay.
Oh, she's hot. I think if you say, oh, she's hot, that kind of means like, hey, I'd like to see her without clothes on.
Okay, all
right. Right. And then if you say, oh, she's beautiful, means you respect her.
Oh, okay. There's respect that comes
there's,
back.
There's
got
respect
it.
With, I respectfully would like to see you without clothes on.
Oh, by the way, Kelly from Crescent Hill sent this little a teddy bear picture wearing a shirt that says, dang, B, you is fine.
Not in those exact words, but
not
yes.
Not in those exact words. I cleaned it up.
Yeah, you did. All right. Raina says beautiful equals they love and adore you, and hot equals I want to get in your pants. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of the same thing that we were saying there a little bit. Allie says hot equals sexy. It's so subjective, though. I love natural beauty. Others love glamour. It's totally subjective.
Okay. But see, Laura's issue, though, is she just, I guess she feels like she's stuck in the cute lane.
Yeah.
And she just wants to figure out how to get out of there.
I don't know. Change the people around you then.
Okay. All right. We're not hanging out anymore because you don't think I'm prettier.
Change the people around you.
For the guys, we didn't really dissect the guys.
Nah, I mean,
cute, handsome, hot. Is that the order there?
Yeah, I don't know. I have never been called cute. Oh, he's cute. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been called cute, to my knowledge.
Okay, have they called you handsome?
I am a handsome
gentleman. I'm sure your wife
would
call you hot.
A handsome gentleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're wearing your sport coat.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And I'm looking dapper.
Okay.
Hey, so have we helped or not?
Not sure.
Okay, that's great. What a great conversation. I want to keep looks out of it. I just want to try to give blanket definitions.
I would say, you know what? You're a step above pretty. So be thankful for that.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, Laura, I think we probably made it all just more confusing, but hopefully not. All right.
But you know what? If somebody is commenting on your appearance at all and coming out and saying, oh, you look cute, then take that as a win.
Yeah. Take it from Kelly.
We don't get that every day.
Take it from Kelly. That's a win.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for reaching out there, Laura. We hope the best for you. On the way next.
Whoever laughs first loses. It's you laugh, you lose. With Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
All right, trumpets, you laugh, you lose. Game where Kelly and I sling jokes back and forth. First person who laughs loses. It's for this trophy and no money, which someday we'll have to get that corrected.
Fame and glory, though.
Yeah,
fame and
glory.
Bragging rights.
All right, losers go first. That's you, Kelly. Are you ready?
Sure. Yeah. Yes, I'm ready. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Told the doctor, I've been bitten by a wolf.
Oh, no.
The doctor asked me where.
Uh-huh.
I said, no, just an ordinary one.
Not a werewolf. Got it.
Exactly.
All right. You laugh, you lose. Kelly, what thinks the unthinkable?
I don't know. What thinks the unthinkable?
An iceberg. Okay. Have a little bit of a lisp.
A little bit, yes. Delivery is important on that one.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
If you don't use fast food napkins as Kleenex in your car, you must be on a whole different tax bracket. We all do that, right?
Oh, is that the joke?
It's a statement joke. Yeah, it's a statement joke.
Hey, Kelly, what's 30 feet long and smells like fruit?
What is 30 feet long and smells like fruit?
My banana kinda don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
Fun.
Thanks.
I like the delivery on that one, too.
Thanks.
Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to party like it's 1999. I want a grocery shop like it's 1999. Who's with me on that?
There you go. Hey, Kelly, I have a condition where I feel the need to steal library books.
You need to steal library books?
Yeah. I know. I'm thinking I should probably get that checked out.
Probably. They would appreciate that. Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Why does Amazon tell me only two left in stock? Order soon. You should order soon. You're the store.
That's true.
Right?
Kelly, my local movie theater is cracking down on people sneaking in outside candy and snacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, though?
What?
I have a few Twix up my sleeve.
Yeah, you do. Adorable. Hey, Ben, you know, I can't wait to retire so I can get up at 6 and drive around really slowly and make everybody else late for work.
Oh, is that what you're going to do?
No, we know that. I am totally sleeping into like 10.
Hey, Kelly, my wife found all the letters I was hiding in my drawer. And she knew I'd been cheating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she said she was never playing Scrabble with me again.
Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
If you see a road sign that says survey crew ahead,
uh-huh,
they're not actually interested in your opinion.
Oh, gotcha.
Hey. I know that. I know that now.
Oh, you know that now. Gotcha.
Yeah, I know that now.
So, Kelly, my girlfriend accused me of cheating.
Oh! Oh, no.
I know. I told her she was starting to act a lot like my wife.
Yeah. We were all shut that down.
Right.
Shut it down. Hey, Ben. Your fingers have fingertips, but your toes don't have toe tips. Yet you can tiptoe, but not tip finger. Have you ever thought about that?
An observational joke.
Yes.
Two skeletons are talking together in a grave, Kelly.
Okay.
One turns to the other and says, you know, I was never very fond of trees while alive. But now that I'm dead, they're growing on me.
Literally, because you're in the ground. That's a good one. Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
I have garden jokes, too. Hey, don't tell secrets to the garden.
Okay.
The potatoes have eyes, the corn has ears, and the beans stalk.
Ooh, good note. Kelly, I don't know if you knew this or not.
Yeah.
I survived a grizzly bear attack with just a big stick.
Wow!
Yes! My friend who I whacked in the knees was not as lucky.
Oh, dang it. Unfortunate.
R.I.P., Chet.
Note to self, don't go camping with Ben. Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Taking my box of wine back, filing a complaint.
Oh, no.
It said once opened, it should last 6 weeks.
Yeah?
It was gone after 3 hours.
Ah, rats! They always lie. False advertising. This is you laugh, you lose. Kelly, my neighbors found the formula for a happy marriage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, every week they go out for a romantic dinner, accompanied by good red wine.
Yeah.
Then they go to the movies.
Yeah.
Finally, they end the night with some wild lovemaking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He goes on Tuesday and she goes on Thursday.
Oh, wow. That's fun neighborhood tea.
Giggity.
Hey, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to take one of those Viking river cruises until I found out you don't get to loot the towns and monasteries along the way.
Oh, no. Really?
What fun is that?
I'm going to have to call my wife and tell her we got the wrong impression.
Exactly.
Kelly, after a night of drinking together, my wife told me she wanted to do something crazy.
Yeah?
Get it on the back seat of the car.
Okay.
Got excited until she asked if I could drive. I just want to know his name.
He sounds nice.
It's very gentle, it seemed.
Okay, hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Guy says, my friends laughed at me after I told them I had a hot date.
Uh-huh.
They said she's imaginary.
Oh.
But ha ha ha, I got the last laugh. Because they're imaginary too.
Who's imaginary?
The friends are imaginary too.
Gosh, you're so dumb. All right, whatever. Take your stupid trophy
imaginary
back.
Imaginary friends are making fun of them for having an imaginary date.
Gotcha.
You got all right.
It's also clear to me now. There you go.
Listen, you're a loser if you're getting taunted by your imaginary friends. That's a whole other level of loser, right?
A whole nother level of loser. All right, there you go. You laugh, you lose. On 99.7 DJX, brought to you by the Caravan Comedy Club. Kelly, if you could describe your tongue in detail to us. How would you describe it?
It's a normal tongue. I don't know how you describe a tongue. How would you describe your tongue?
All right. Well, I would say it's pink. It's probably...
It's bumpy. It's got taste buds.
Yes, taste buds. Maybe inch and a half wide. Maybe an inch.
I'm not
measuring. And a half wide, something like that.
It fits in my mouth. It helps me form words.
Stupid fact of the day here. We're talking the widest tongue in the world belongs to a Texas woman by the name of Brittany. Hers checks in at 3.1 inches wide.
That sounds big. My family would kind of make a joke about it, so I guess I've known from when I was pretty young that my tongue was larger than most people's. My best friend Sarah sent me a link to the previous record holder's video, and so I guess that inspired me to see if my tongue was actually wider than hers.
Yeah, so well, a little research there and realized that there was actually...
So wait, her family made fun of her first? That's kind of how she realized that she was a little abnormal in that department?
From a young age, my family would kind of make a joke about it.
Oh, dang!
That's what she said.
That's tragic.
Look at one tongue coming in here. So then she did a little research, her friend did a little research, realized that there was actually a Guinness Book of World Records category for this. And wow. So it was like, you know what? I think you might have a shot at being in the record book as the widest tongue.
Dang. That's a lot of ground to taste with.
Yeah. So your stupid fact of the day is the largest, widest tongue in the world is owned by Texas's Brittany at 3.1 inches wide.
Okay, blown away 2.89 inches, which was the previous record.
Yes.
Sorry to Emily, who no longer can claim she is the queen of the biggest tongue.
Not our Emily. A different Emily.
No, a different Emily. Schlenker.
Yeah.
Emily Schlenker was the previous record holder. Now, I have a long neck.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a record-holding long neck.
Do we know this?
But that's my freak flag.
Do we know this?
No, I haven't.
Like, have you measured it? No, and I'm going to go ahead and say, don't bother, because I've seen several necks in, like, National Geographic.
Right.
In different countries.
They wear those rings that actually stretch their necks.
Stretch them, yeah, for sure.
I've not done that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So,
But that is my freak flag.
It's your...
Like, that's been noticeable where at least... Suzanne at work pointed that out.
She was the first person to point that out to you?
Well, to say it out loud. Like, you know you have a long neck.
Okay.
She said, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Like, I get it. I look a little like a human bobblehead.
Well, the bobbleheads have larger heads. I feel like
they do have larger heads, and I have a very small head.
Right.
Like, I wear kid-size hats.
Yeah.
So that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Which makes my shoulders look a little disproportionate. I'm not painting a very nice picture of myself.
Makes your shoulders kind of look like you're a football player.
Right. And yeah. My sister's even worse. She's a little bit taller than me. She's got even broader shoulders, even like a long neck just like me. And she always wears her hair back, so it makes her head look even smaller.
Oh,
I try
right.
to fluff my hair out to make it more proportional.
Sure. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. We all have our things.
All right. All right. Well, good. I'm glad we could have this moment for you, Kelly.
All right.
And Brittany's thing is a wide tongue.
That is really, that is a lot. When she sticks it out like that,
yeah,
that's a lot.
It's in your face. We'll post it on X at Ben and Kelly Show. You can see it there. There's your stupid fact of the day. Largest tongue, widest tongue belongs to Brittany. 3.11 inches. Did you say she must be fun to kiss? Wow.
Also, better to lick ice cream with. You can get more done, right?
All right, I'm going to stop talking because we're going to go down a weird, weird, weird hole. And
we're on our way.
I'm not ready for it. Post Malone, 9970JX, his album F1 Trillion out today. And you can see the likes of Blake Shelton in there. Of course, Morgan Wallen there. Dolly Parton, Jelly Roll. I mean, he legit, and we've already gone over his track list, but he legit got every single important person in the country world to guest on his album. And we think that's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah. So, it's a great way to start, and it's a great introduction into the genre.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, let's get to a feel good. Do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly Kay.
This is really cool. A high school basketball coach from Maine, his name is Ryan Martin, may have broken a Guinness World Record by sinking 1,134 three-pointers in 1 hour.
Wow.
We were just shooting around, really just messing around in the gym, and I made 104 threes in a row, which was, from what I know, the most I've ever made in a row. And then he's the one who said, you should start going for some shooting world records. I kind of looked into it as training for a marathon. Nick and I made a chart of how I wanted to pace myself through the entire hour.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The current record stood at 1,077, set back in 2012 by a guy named Daniel in Oregon.
Jeez.
So, yeah, now Ryan's just waiting for the official confirmation from Guinness with, you know, you got to submit all the proof and the video and all the things. Now, I thought it was, you know, consecutive, but it's just that many that he's made in an hour.
Wow.
But you can see, yeah, it's a lot though. And he kind of approached it, like he said, like he was training for a marathon. He'd do a couple like 20 minute sessions and just then kind of came up with a plan on how he was going to pace himself. Because I mean, when you think about that repeated motion,
tire your arms out.
Yes. Yeah. Your arms would feel over the course of an hour just to try to see, you know, how many he could get. And man, that's quite a shooting percentage. By the way, I don't know how many he actually missed, but to make 1,134. That's crazy.
That is.
Yeah. See the video at WDJX.com, brought to you by Bell of Louisville.
Ben and Kelly, good morning. 99.7 EJX. All right. This is a setting the bar story, Kelly, which is
an example of what not to do or a situation we hope don't happen to you.
Yeah. We set the bar for your day very, very, very low. This involves Veronica and her no good, very bad day. If you can manage to make it through the day without running over your boyfriend on the way to couples therapy, you're doing okay.
She ran over her boyfriend? How did we run over our boyfriend? First of all, was it on purpose?
Okay, so this is a setting.
Therapy, they weren't in a good space.
Yeah, so this is setting the bar story. So, no, it wasn't on accident.
Oh, God.
All right, so Veronica's 30. She and her boyfriend had been fighting all day. They're on their way to couples therapy. Things got a little heated on the drive. He literally broke up with her on the drive to couples therapy. He says he told her their relationship over, asked to take him home. She was the one driving. She stopped in the middle of the road, said, "Get out." Which, all right, that's a king move right there.
Okay.
Right? So he did. His mistake, and this is where the stories are different a little bit. His mistake, and this is what he says. He locked eyes as he was crossing in front of her. That was the mistake. He says she hit the gas, caused him to fly over the hood of her car, slam into the windshield. Luckily, he's going to be okay.
Wow.
So he ended up with a cut on his elbow, and she ended up with a cracked windshield.
They probably also were hit with a bill for not making their appointment. I'm guessing.
So she claims that he punched the windshield out of anger, and it wasn't her actually hitting him. That's why her windshield cracked.
Him flying over the hood and hitting the windshield versus just punching the windshield, not flying over it.
Yeah,
different stories.
Yeah. Those are the different stories. And she also tried to say that she didn't hit him on purpose. She just didn't see him in front of the car.
They locked eyes, apparently.
Eventually, the stories changed, and eventually she actually said, "Yeah, well, I accidentally did hit the gas and hit him."
Okay, then. That is a no good, very bad day.
I don't know for sure, but it sounds like their relationship is officially over.
I would hope it is.
They'd been dating about a year.
If we are at the point where we're accidentally kind of sort of running over our boyfriend, we probably should go ahead and call it quits.
Yeah, so that's the story of Veronica's very good, no good, very bad day.
Well, and
terrible,
their counselor,
horrible.
Their therapist is probably not very good.
Well, I don't know if that was their first time going or their second, third, fourth, or fifth.
Not sure what session number that was. Yeah, if it was the first.
Yeah, maybe that was the first. Right. And the therapist's like, "You could have at least given me a shot."
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Let me help you. Let me try.
Like, listen, we need to get in a room and speak on these things.
Right.
Try not to break up with your girlfriend, though, on the way. Just here, let's have a little session.
Listen. If you're within the sound of my voice and you are in a situation this weekend where you get in a fight with your significant other and your significant other parks the car in the middle of the road and says, "Get out," do not, under any circumstances, walk in front of the car.
Right. Maybe you just stand on the side of the road
and
watch it drive off.
You stand on the side of the road.
Because even if we're behind it, we can accidentally, oopsies, backup.
Yes, yes. You yeah. just get out and you go over to the sidewalk.
Just watch them drive away.
Yes.
Call an Uber.
Oh, shoot. All right. Anyways, that's your setting the bar story.
Oh, wow.
On 99.7 EJX. So we're going to go from that to an online dating hack, because I could understand where Veronica is probably getting online and trying to
They're
find a new boyfriend.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. Probably trying to find a new boyfriend. All right, so we got a hack for you, and watch out, short kings, we're coming for you.
Oh boy.
Next, 99.7 EJX. It's Ben and Kelly. Good morning, 99.7 EJX. I know we've had fun with ChatGPT on the show before, and AI, artificial intelligence, like asking it different random questions and stuff like that. Can't solve everything yet, right? AI.
Sure.
But someone realized that you can actually use ChatGPT to figure out if someone is fibbing about their height online.
Okay, so I was going to ask, because I just needed a little clarification on the term short king. So we are talking about stature, height. We're not talking about anything else and its size, right? I was just,
yes,
I just
right.
need a clarification.
Yes.
It's just actual stature, how yes. tall you are as a person.
Kelly, the term short kings refers
okay.
to
right.
Men who are adults
okay.
who are under, like, I don't know, 5'5". I don't know what the actual cutoff
what
is.
What the cutoff is? Okay.
Right, for short
right.
kings.
Again, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, to be clarified, a short king, but those short kings, anyways, might accidentally fib on their online dating profile, saying that they are in fact taller than they actually are. So using AI, there's an AI expert who actually tweeted this out. She tried it with 10 friends and family, said that by just uploading 4 pictures of them and asking AI, how tall would you estimate this person is? It uses their surroundings, stuff in the background, and it figures it out within an inch of all of them.
It was right within
yes,
an inch?
Yes.
Interesting.
I know, right? So that could be kind of interesting, too.
So it could be calling out guys who are fibbing on the height.
Yep, exactly. So you could use AI for good. And if you're looking for a specific height of a guy and saying, hey, I only need someone who's 5'10 and above, then you can at least upload their picture, their profile picture maybe, to AI or to ChatGPT and say, hey, how tall do you think this person is? And they could give you a more accurate answer.
Gotcha. Okay, right. So if that's important to you.
Yeah.
You just upload the picture, say, all right, are they
online
being legit?
Online dating yeah. hack there from you, from your old pals Ben and Kelly. We've never online dated ourselves.
Nope, not at all.
All right, it's 99.7 EJX. Ben and Kelly, good morning, 99.7 DJX. Kind of a wet start to your weekend here this morning. It's going to be scattered storms today and tomorrow and Sunday. So,
your landscaping's going to be they're going to be really happy. Though,
I'm telling
your
you,
lawn needed
I'm telling
it, right?
You understand when you turn into an adult, when you look at the rain, put your hands on your hips, and go, man. Plants really needed this.
That's right. The lawn was really starting to look crunchy. Yeah,
you.
Needed that drink.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, plants
right.
needed
what
that.
A good weekend is gonna be.
Where you nudge your partner.
We started off talking about cottage cheese. We're ending talking about the lawn.
Yeah,
this is great.
You kind of nudge your partner. And you go, you know what? The electricity in the air is really gonna bring out the color in the plants. And you know, your partner looks at you and goes, yeah, it's great. We needed this.
Or I'm looking at my husband going, whew, I don't have to get out there and water the landscaping today. That's one less thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Lawn mowing is going to have to wait another day. So,
yep.
Anyways. So if you missed anything from the show, yes, Kelly alluded to the fact that we started talking about cottage cheese to start, how they changed agents and started being represented by avocados agent.
It's a star on TikTok right now.
Yeah, exactly. We started with that. We got some stories of the Mile High Club.
And somewhere we ended up around Ben's butt.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Not the same story. Different
nope.
story. Yep.
Yep.
And then
part of the journey.
Yeah. A lot of other stuff, jokes and whatnot. So if you missed anything, we got a week's worth of shows for you to catch up on in this rainy weekend. All right.
Yeah. What else are you going to do? Just listen to Ben and Kelly like all day.
That's right. Right. Subscribe on YouTube at Ben and Kelly Show or WDJX.com. Tap listen. What else, Kelly?
Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll talk to you Monday.
Goodbye.